I'm Roy Fitzwater, and today I'll be talking about effective ministry to giving partners. And I do just want to, as a freebie, kind of endorse both of the folks that made announcements earlier, both the planned giving area and the NAV events. I want to encourage you both to take advantage of those. I had the privilege of speaking at an event in Florida about a month ago, and it was just a great experience and gave people an opportunity to come learn more about that specific navigator as well as navigators overall, and provided a ton of leads for that particular staff person. So I really want you to think about that. And then also, just in terms of a way to minister to our donors that are 50 or over, that quarterly magazine that comes out called Prime Timers, it's got interesting articles. My mother-in-law is over 50. Well, I am too, but anyway. But she gets the magazine and happens to live with us. And it's just a great way to keep that in front of people and to begin to plant the seed that, you know, they might want to do something with their estate that would continue to give to you and allow you to continue in ministry. So today we're going to talk about a number of different areas. We're going to talk a little bit about the spirituality of fundraising. And I'm going to base that on a book by Henry Nouwen that I'll show you in just a moment. And then talk about some things in the area of partner ministry. Can you see okay, or do I can go back this way a little bit. Talk specifically about putting together a communication plan, and then some things about partner tracking, and then last of all, we'll end with some information about resources. So there is a book that I really want to commend to you if you have not read it before. It is called The Spirituality of Fundraising. It's by Henry Nouwen, and it's available at this website, and all these PowerPoint slides are in your handout there, so you don't need to scribble down web addresses furiously or anything like that. This book used to be free. I went on the site today to pull up a picture of it, and it actually costs $13 now. So, but it's well worth it. It is absolutely the best book I have ever read on fundraising from a spiritual standpoint. If you have not read it and you don't do anything else out of the conference this week, go online, order that book, and spend some time in it. It's very much a devotional. There's a lot of scripture in it, and there's just a lot of wonderful quotes about taking the perspective on fundraising that it really is about spirituality. So I want to introduce you to a couple of quotes from that, and then I want to encourage you just to kind of turn your chairs a little bit and spend a couple moments dialoguing about the whole idea of spirituality of fundraising, and then we're going to share together up here. So the first quote I want to share is, and again, all these quotes are out of this book. It says, "In fundraising as a ministry, we are inviting people into a new way of relating to their resources. By giving people a spiritual vision, we want them to experience that they will, in fact, benefit by making their resources available to us. In other words, we are calling them to an experience of conversion. You won't become poorer, you will become richer. And 2 Corinthians 9:11 tells us, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity." So I'd like for you just to take a minute and kind of turn around in groups of three or four and reflect on that passage from Scripture and on that quote, and just talk about the way that you look at fundraising and whether you consider it to be a spiritual activity. All right, if you guys want to turn your attention back up to the front, we will have one other break, just a couple minutes to look at some other statements. But I'd just like to get some reactions to this whole idea that fundraising really is a spiritual activity. What do you think as you read that statement, as you consider that scripture, as you just think about that whole concept? Any thoughts?
Well, I can say I've been raising support for 6 months, but I've been giving a whole lot longer than that, and just about every time I've given, it has been a spiritual act for me. Therefore, I'm pretty sure as I ask people to give to me, there are spiritual things going on in their lives, whether that's lordship decisions about their money, so it must be spiritual.
Okay, good. So it works for you, it probably works the same way for them. Good thought. Yes, back in the back corner.
Well, I'm very interested in this and working hard on it from a ministry perspective. But I have a stack, probably this high, of envelopes that I started to collect over just the last year from the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Association, the National Rifle Association, the Navigators, Cancer Crusade. And all of this fundraising looks exactly alike. The only difference is the content of the letters. So I'm throwing out the idea that our fundraising looks too much like the world, and we need to rethink it.
Okay.
My thought about that statement is that my head might believe that, but I don't feel like it. Ministry is a lot more fun and compelling.
All right, well, I'm going to challenge that.
Ministry is more fun.
Yeah, I mean, meeting with the guys. I'd rather do that. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can challenge that statement today. I appreciate the honesty. All right, one more thought on this one, and then we're going to go to the next couple quotes.
Say, you know, covering your thing, Mark, I heard someone put it in this perspective. If you're sharing the gospel with someone, you're asking someone to change their life. You're asking for support. You're asking for $50 a month. Which one's scarier? Yeah.
I think that's something I heard you say, Mark. Ministry is hungry.
Okay. Good.
It's important we convey that to people as we, you know, speak to them and ask them to pray about giving.
Absolutely. Good. All right, let's look at a couple more quotes. As a form of ministry, fundraising is as spiritual as giving a sermon, entering a time of prayer, visiting the sick, or feeding the hungry. To raise funds is to offer people the chance to invest what they have in the work of God. And then the last quote is, fundraising must always aim to create new lasting relationships. And the emphasis on that last one is mine. So take a couple minutes, turn in your groups, and talk about these three. And probably for some of you, the first one is going to be the one that's the most controversial. I'd like to hear a couple of people's responses to some of these bullet points here.
I'm just coming on this area of fundraising as being spiritual, in that when Thelma and I, as I shared with the group here, go out for prayer, we're not just praying, thanking God for the gifts that came in. We're thanking God for the individual that gave, and we're asking God, as part of our ministry, to bless those people in the area of their family, their protection, their job, their health, security. So we're constantly ministering to those people, and they know we are, because we want to email and say, we were just praying for you this morning, that God will protect your family, your health, and not just keep the money coming. Thank you for the check.
Good.
People think when you're...
They absolutely do.
It really does. I can put as much time in our prayer for those donors as in preparing a sermon.
Mm-hmm. Good. Other thoughts? Yes.
Mark. You know, I brought something Kevin said 10 years ago. And most of our, if you're on staff any length of time, most of your ministry is behind you, not necessarily with you. And, you know, if I've got a Bible study with a dozen people or so, you know, Susie might be there because they're cute guys. Johnny might be there because they're cute girls. Why they're there, and I don't know how it turns out with them, but my donors have, you know, they have self-selected themselves, and this is a whole opportunity of ministry. You know, they're giving to the work of God through me because they believe in it, and I feel like I've got an open door and more than just an obligation to minister to them.
Great.
To your donors. Yes. You know, there are a whole constituency that a whole opportunity of ministry that are there. And they've been dealing with me for many, many years and have life lessons that they can share with me.
Good. Any other perspectives? Yes, Mark?
I want to ask a question about that. What percentage of your ministry would you say is to your donors who are maybe not in the immediate, those 12 guys in your Bible study?
A lot. More, and it ought to be more than I give it to. Really? Kevin, I remember you asking someone this question over the Scott Day. A very well-funded staff, how much time do you put into fundraising and just keeping up with donors and all that? He said about 20% of the time.
Kevin?
What do you think, Roy?
I think that's pretty good, yeah.
I would say don't feel guilty if it takes you between 10 to 20% of your time. That's okay.
And I think the key is viewing it as ministry. Because many navigators have a tendency to view ministry here and fundraising here. And the reality is, if you look at fundraising as ministry, they are equal. Because there's opportunities for you to speak into those supporters' lives, those partners' lives, that maybe nobody else can say. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Any other comments on any of these quotes? All right. Well, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I do want to encourage you to look at fundraising as a spiritual act. So let's talk a little bit about partner ministry. I think one of the most important things that we can do, and you alluded to it, is how key it is that we say thank you effectively. And I can guarantee that one of the things that will separate the Red Cross and the Cancer Society and everything else from the way that we raise funds is the way that we say thanks. Because the majority of those organizations, as fine as they are going to crank out a standard thank you note. And there are very few handwritten letters or notes or anything written these days. So I want to encourage you to say thank you and say it frequently. It was very important to Jesus. You know, there's a specific story where he talks about the 10 lepers. All 10 were healed, 9 went away, only one came back to say thanks. So if Jesus spent a significant part of his word telling us that story, to me it says that it was really important to Jesus. And if it was important to Jesus, it's important to me as well. I think it's really important to look for opportunities to meet needs. The reality is, for the majority of your partners, if they are plugged into a large church, they probably don't know the senior pastor, and the senior pastor doesn't know them. They might be lucky if they know someone else on staff. So as they are walking through different parts of life, whether they have a prodigal child or they're facing disease or their marriage is in trouble, you could be the only person that God has appointed to step into that and to speak into their lives on that. So look for opportunities to minister to people. Again, the whole idea of praying regularly, it's absolutely critical that you, A, tell your partners that you're praying for them, and B, then do it. So my wife and I have a couple different ways that we approach praying for our ministry partners. One is that twice a year we take a full day away and we spend that entire day doing nothing but praying for ministry and praying for our partners. So about 2 weeks before that happens, we send out an email and we ask people what their prayer requests are. And it's amazing how many people respond. We have about 150 people on our partner team, and I would say regularly we hear from at least a third to a half with specific requests, and they are letting you into their lives at that point, and you have the opportunity to take those concerns before the throne. So we do that twice a year, and then three times a year, I use ACT Contact Management as it's my second Bible practically, and so I schedule for about a 45-day period, 3 people a day, their names come up, and I pray specifically for them. I pray as I know specific needs, and then I kind of pray some overall things as well. So I really want to encourage you to look at the opportunity to minister to your partners through prayer. I also would encourage people to consider a small thank you gift, especially as they come on as a brand new partner. And we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail. You know, there is a balance between where you spend your money and not, you know, overdoing it or anything like that. But I think that most people that support you would understand that you're also going to spend part of your funds in the whole process of raising, more money, raising additional partners. So you have to decide what kind of level that's going to be, what you're going to do, that sort of thing. But we believe that that's a great way to begin the relationship, and it's a great way to speak into people's lives and minister to them based on what you choose in terms of a gift. Yes. I am going to do that. Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to get into that very specifically. Another thing that you can do in terms of partner ministry is to pick up the tab. So if you go out to lunch or dinner with somebody, they should not always be the one that's paying for stuff. And don't just put out that, oh, I'll get this, when you have no intention of doing that. You know, if you have to fight for the ticket once in a while, do it. And again, you know, that's a place where, you know, if your money is tight and you want to, you know, you don't have a lot to spare, then consider meeting for coffee at Starbucks instead of meeting for lunch or dinner. You know, even if they order the most expensive latte on the menu, you're talking about $4 or $5. And so, you know, it's an opportunity for you to give back to them. And I actually keep track of it in my donor tracking software, just so I know that I have taken care of that on a regular basis with folks. So that's up to you whether you want to do that. Yes?
You're talking about current donors or potential?
I would say both. So certainly if I was taking somebody out for the first time and soliciting them as a donor, I'd want to make sure that I picked up the tab. So
where do you find the line? How often do you do that?
You know, it depends on how often you see people. You know, for people that I see once a year or a couple times a year, I might do it every other time or something like that. So, and again, you know, most of them are going to be very insistent that they want to do it. But if you make a sincere offer and you really do try to make that happen, I think it is a way to minister to them. And they don't, somebody once said that dad is spelled ATM because your kids, as a dad, your kids are always coming to you. You don't want your donor to feel that way at all. So. And then, again, say thank you. And we're going to talk about some specific ways to do that. Kevin said at the very beginning that I'm really passionate about this whole area of ministry to partners, and that's absolutely true. I'm also very passionate about what you guys are doing in, and gals are doing in military ministry. I have a son who is 22 and is in Anderson Air Force Base in Guam, and I just got back there from there last Friday seeing him. And then I have another son who's a sophomore at the Academy and is 20 years old at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. So I am a little partial to Air Force, but I do appreciate every branch of the service, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing to minister to them. I was talking to Justine earlier, and you know, it is a tough age when these kids are in their early 20s and they're making life decisions and they're setting up a household for the first time, and I wish that we had a military ministry in Guam, because my son has had a really hard time shopping churches and trying to figure out what's going on, and there's virtually nothing going on there in the Christian realm, and it's a tough environment. So thank you so much for what you do, and hopefully the things I share today will really encourage you in the area of partner ministry. So let's talk a little bit about thank you notes and saying thank you. I'm going to give you some do's first and then some don'ts. It's absolutely critical that it be personal. You know, the address, the salutation, it is not dear friends or anything like that. It is dear Dan and Jan. And I think that it has to be handwritten. And I will tell you, I have the poorest handwriting in the world, short of any medical doctor, but I handwrite every one of my notes, and people are willing to struggle through that. I think it's really helpful to use specific reference to what you're going to use the funds for. So especially if you're fundraising for like a trip, or you're coming to this military conference, or whatever it might be, in your thank you note, acknowledge what it is that has allowed you to do. And then communicate excitement, gratitude, and inner warmth. Be prompt. My goal is to have the thank you letter in the mail before I mail the check to headquarters. So if you have that as a standard, you know, and in fact, I won't let myself put the check in the mail to headquarters until I've sent the thank you note. So if you adopt that as a standard, do your, you know, your very best to accomplish that. People will really appreciate that.
Do you need the check?
Like when we do a special appeal, we'll have people mail it directly to us as opposed to headquarters. If it's a regular monthly donor or something like that, I'm not talking about that.
As far as like writing thank you notes for regular donors, how often do you?
I do a handwritten thank you note once a year to every single donor, and I put them on a schedule. So I have roughly a dozen of those a month that I do. And I'll tell you right now that it is virtually the exact same note that I write to every person, because I can't think of 149 different notes that I'm going to write. Where it's a really close relationship, I might add something specific or if I've seen them recently, but it is, you know, pretty much a form thank you note, but it is handwritten. And again, it's part of my mailing schedule. I schedule that every month and really work hard at making sure that, so every single person hears from me at least once a year in a written thank you. Some don'ts. Do not ask for another gift in your thing. Yes, go ahead.
How long is your thank you
note? I'm going to show you a sample of one, but it is like this is, these are brand new note cards. They're available. I'll pass these around. You can open the package if you want to. These are four pictures of Glen Eyrie and has scripture inside of them. You can buy them through staff funding. I think if you buy them to use, they're like $1 a pack. So a quarter for a thank you note is a great deal. You know, you can't find one at Hallmark or anyplace else for that. So it's basically, you know, half of one of those little cards. So we're not talking about a lot of words or a lot of time. And it's a great thing to do, you know, if you know you're going to write 12 of them a month or whatever that magic number is, you know, take them on the plane with you or whatever. I mean, I wrote lots of thank you notes on the way to Guam. It takes 27 hours to get there. So. If I was smart, I would have brought all of them, but you're absolutely right. So don't ask for another gift in the thank you. It is a thank you note. That is all it is. Do not have spelling or grammar errors, because people will notice. Do not continue to sell. You know, you've already made the sale in terms of people have bought into what you're doing and they're supporting your ministry. So don't keep that part of it up. And don't overdo it. Two paragraphs max. I mean, we are not talking about War and Peace. We are talking about, dear Dan and Jan, thank you so much, et cetera. I want to encourage you to consider doing a first-time partner welcome packet. So this is for somebody who is a brand new donor to you, okay? And there's a number, and I will say that what I do in terms of donor ministry or partner ministry is probably over the top, but it's very effective. And, you know, I raise over $100,000 a year, and I have more than a four-month surplus in my reserve right now. So, You know, it is proof that it really does work. Not in a manipulative, you know, kind of way, but, you know, if you care for your donors, your partners, and you minister to them, then they're going to respond when you ask. So I just want to encourage you to do that. So I would encourage you to consider a first-time partner packet. And in the loose sheets of handouts that I passed out, there's a couple of components in that. First of all, I do encourage you to do a handwritten note. And so, again, this year I'm using these Glenary cards because they make a great impression. It helps people know a little bit more about. So here's what my note might say. And this would be real handwriting. This wouldn't be, you know, a font. But I'll write a scripture at the top. And so in this case, I chose 2 Samuel 2:6. And now may the Lord show you loving kindness and truth to you. And I also will show this goodness to you because you have done this thing. And, you know, there's ton. If you can't find a scripture on thankfulness, which you should be able to, but if you can't, go on Google and say scriptures about thankfulness, and there are lists all over the place, and you don't always have to use the same ones. I thank my God every time I remember you. You know, they get that in every note that they get from any Christian. So look for some other opportunities. So again, it just says, "Dear Dan and Jan, thank you so much for your recent gift and support of our work with Church Discipleship Ministry of the Navigators. Your investment pays eternal dividends as it allows us to minister to churches and their leaders around the world. Each time we go into a church or participate in a national meeting, you come along with us in spirit. We could not do it without you. Love, Roy, and for Margaret." And, you know, that's the way we choose to sign. If Margaret signs the note, she signs it, Margaret, and for Roy. If I do it, I sign it for both of us, that kind of thing. That's totally up to you what kind of wording you want to use and everything like that. So it's really brief. It's only a couple sentences, but it conveys appreciation. It conveys what you're doing with that gift, invites people to join you in that sort of thing. So that's what the thank you note might look like. There's a sample one of these in your packet. But this is kind of a welcome letter. And it basically thanks them for giving, tells them a little bit about what you're doing. We use a distinctive letterhead. We have two different kind of formats. When it's a newsletter and we're not asking for money, we use this format right here. And we had a friend who's on our support team. He's a graphic designer. We asked him if he would help us out and design a letterhead. He was more than happy to do that. It gave him some additional involvement in our ministry. And we got something that looks really great. So, so what we've chosen to do is separate those two things. We use one letterhead when it's a newsletter or this opening letter. And then we do something completely different when it's a fundraising piece. And so that way people know, and we never mix those two things together. So the sample you have has some text in it that you could consider thinking about using when you're talking about what your ministry does and how you're enabled by them, that sort of thing. Then the other thing that we do, and I think this is, yes, Kevin.
You've got to explain the kids too,
or is that? Well, it actually tells at the bottom, but our kids are, as they kind of launched into college and beyond, they started calling themselves FITS2O instead of FITSWater. It's kind of a play on FITS H2O. And so we decided to adopt that same thing. So it's in the PS at the bottom there. So this is one thing that we do that I think is pretty unique. I'm not sure I've ever seen another navigator that does it. But and if it's, is it too warm? Can somebody grab the thermostat right there on the wall and maybe turn it down a little bit? Thanks. Thank you. Is we send out this questionnaire because we want to know more about the people that are our partners. And, you know, if you think it's important as a gal, you know, Patty, if you want your, you know, to be dear Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and Mrs. Bob and Patty or whatever your husband's name might be, or if you're married, I don't know. Anyway, it gives them an opportunity, if that's important to them, to express that. And then you just go into your database and you change it so that the, you know, first line of your address line includes both people's names. So that's right there. Please list both spouses' names in the address. And then, you know, I already know their home phone, that sort of thing, but I don't know their cell phone yet. So it's an opportunity for me to gather that information to make sure I have the right email address on file. I think it's really important to gather information about birthdays and anniversaries. We mail a birthday card and an anniversary card to every one of our partners where we have that information. And I can tell you for sure that on more than one occasion, I heard back from a partner that my birthday card was the only card they got that year except from a family member. So just think about the opportunity to touch people. And it takes a 42-cent stamp and a few minutes of time. So take advantage of that. Yes.
You know, about a photo. Would you ask them to send you a photo if they wanted to? Like, see, Mark has gone on, you know, these fundraising appointments.
Uh-huh.
So there's a portion that I've never even, I've never met them. I don't know what they look like, you know, so.
You know, it sure wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
And actually, if you, we're going to talk about partner tracking and using TNT, and it has a function where you can attach a photo to people's records. Okay. So then they're right in front of you. So yeah, I don't think there's any
more personal node rather than in this.
Yeah, maybe, or you know, I think that's up to you. But and if it would be helpful to you to have one, then I'd ask. You know, or you could do it in an email where they could quickly turn around and attach that.
Yeah,
so that might be a good way to do it. So again. You know, it is a ministry to send birthday cards to people. And it's not, we're not talking about, I don't write a ton on them, but there's a few things, you know, there's a note that I make and I write them all. And if you have, like, living in Colorado Springs, like we do, there's a company called Current. They mail, you know, catalogs and junk all over the place. Well, they have an outlet center. And so you can buy, you know, birthday cards very inexpensively. And so I go in at the beginning of the year and I buy enough guy birthday cards and enough lady birthday cards and I'm done with it. And then I just pull them out of a box, you know, once a week and send them out, that sort of thing. Yes.
How many of those do you send out a year?
Well, I don't have everybody's birthday card, but I mean, birthday and anniversary, but you know, you could say I probably do 300. Between anniversaries and birthdays.
How much time does that take?
Nothing. I mean, it's like, Dear Bob, it's already got a verse, praying that you'll have a wonderful birthday and a sense of God's love for you. Roy, boom. I mean, it's just, they're really not, it doesn't take very much time at all.
And you're not saying thank you.
I'm not.
I'm just saying happy birthday.
Happy birthday, that's it, yes.
So I'm just thinking of, I think it's a great idea. I think if I received something like this, a thought that could enter my mind would be, especially if I'm largely committed to an organization, let's say I'm giving a lot, would be, don't they already know this about me? Or don't they know my birthday? Or I don't know, it just could seem impersonal, and I wonder what.
Okay. I will say I've never had that reaction from anybody. There are people who never mail it back. You know, that's true. But, you know, I think because of the way you started out, this is how we have it recorded. We want to make sure it's right. Is this your preference? You know, and because I already have their birthday for information, but I just want to make sure it's right, that sort of thing. I have never had a negative reaction
that's
to it.
Really good. You know, especially, we don't, there's one wife's name that we don't have, and Mark and I both think it's a different name. So we don't know whether it's Beth and Ann or the two different ones. And he goes, I think some people call her Beth, some people...
Oh, man. Well, this would solve that problem from the very beginning. So I do it as because we started new with Navigators. When we started raising support, we sent it as the gift, first gift came in. But I don't think there'd be anything wrong with going back to all your current partners and saying, hey, we're just trying to clean up our records, make sure we have the most effective, you know, way of communicating with you, that sort of thing. So, and if you look at the one that I passed out, it was longer because you can't get everything on a PowerPoint slide and still be able to read it. But there's some, like, we ask them, we're considering doing a quarterly, you know, e-newsletter encouragement thingy. Do you want to be on that? And then, like, staff lending might not know, like, this part, but it's in there anyway. I do ask people if they would prefer not to be solicited by the Navigators in general. And if they don't, they can check that box, and then all you do is call the Accounting Process Center and say, my partner has requested not to be solicited by donors. So, Kevin, you can shoot me later if you want to for that one. But, again, it's one more way to minister to people. Yes?
Do you send all of these things out in the...
Yes, it's a welcome packet. It has all this stuff together. So, and it comes, and it looks nice. It comes in a big, you know, like 10 by 12 envelope or something like that. And it's all one packet comes together. So, and then.
Back up a second.
Yep.
So, do the Navigators automatically continue to solicit your donors for additional?
I'll let you answer that, Kevin.
Unless the status quo, unless they turn
no, off. Actually, the answer to that question is the Navigators will send to a staff-only donor. You know what I mean by that? They're only giving to you. I think it's one mailing a year, and it's on your behalf. It goes in November, and that is like a 13-month giving update. Here's your giving for the last year. Would you like to catch up? Now, if a giver is giving to you, and also gives to the Eagle Lake Scholarship Fund, which, of course, you wouldn't know, right? They have a broader interest. And in that case, that's a staff and organizational giver. And those are sent carefully requests through here.
And I will say that out of the 150 people that are my partners, less than a dozen have ever checked the box, please don't solicit me. So But it's just, again, one more way to say, I care about you, I care about our relationship, if this is important to you. And then because we're in church discipleship ministry, we also capture information about their church, because I, you know, that's something that, so if I'm going to a new city and I'm going to, you know, make contact with a pastor or something like that, if I know somebody who's on my support team that's in that church, it's just one more opening. So we obviously they're going to have to send the questionnaire back to you. So it's pretty simple to design your own envelope like this. You can either print them yourself, or you can have the printing shop at headquarters do this, or you can go to Kinko's or whatever. We just do this little notation here. Your stamp is an extra gift, because I don't put return postage on anything, because I think it's a waste. And that, you know, by asking for their stamp in that way, it's just kind of a little bit of an encouragement. So, again, I'd encourage you to do a personalized return envelope. So this isn't for the rank and file monthly gift. It's for the questionnaire, and it's for any kind of special gift. Right. So, again, we've chosen, because we want, like when we do a special mailing, like a year-end mailing, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, we always use this envelope because I want the gift to come directly back to me so that I can turn around and write that thank you note immediately and acknowledge that gift. Because if it goes to headquarters first, it does take some time to, you know, come up in the system and everything like that. Again, that's a personal choice. You guys can decide to do it the other way and have it sent directly to P.O. Box 6000. Right now, the gift that we are doing for all of our new donors is the 75th anniversary book. And the majority of you should have seen it. This is, like, by far the best gift you could ever imagine giving. It only costs $5. It's worth at least 10 times that. And so we did this. We actually did this for our Christmas. I'm going to pass it around just in case people haven't seen it. That's okay. We actually did it for our Christmas gift this past year and then bought enough extras that we could have it for our new ministry partners. And as I have traveled to partners' homes since Christmas, I can't tell you how many times I have seen that book on their coffee table. I mean, it is there in almost every single home. It's amazing. So, and again, there are still copies of it available. They are only $5 a piece. It costs a couple dollars to mail it, and it makes an incredible impression. Yes?
How long will this still be available then?
It's a good question. I know they reprint it, and I keep ordering it to you here. I probably have enough for this year, maybe next year. But it can be reprinted again, but it's still available.
And you're saying as an initial?
That's my thank you gift.
NavigatorStore.org. You'll find it up there.
Yeah. So the whole packet consists of that welcome letter, a handwritten thank you note, the survey, a return envelope for the survey, and this gift. And, you know, I've never had anybody, well, actually I have had. I've had a couple people who say there's no other missionary that, you know, treats us this way. So, but I think it just makes that impression. It makes a really positive impression. And, you know, we have the benefit of books like this, the fact that Nav Press is part of our, you know, work, and we get to, you know, order books at a discount through them and everything like that. I'll talk more about gift books in just a minute, but, you know, why not take advantage of that? Yes?
About new churches or churches in general, and you want to give a new member?
You know, I would still do that. You know, the questionnaire might be a little bit different, and you could customize it. You know, is there somebody who you want to receive our newsletter in particular, that sort of thing? Uh-huh. Yeah, if you have a name, it's always better. And you might have the wrong name. Just like you don't know the wife's name, you don't know who the mission committee chair is exactly. So ask for that information. Yep.
Other ideas on gifts?
We're going to talk about that in just a second. Yep. So the next thing I want to encourage you to do is to put together an annual communication plan. Okay? There is a tiny little sample in your PowerPoint, but it's the information's pretty basic. I would encourage you to do it every year and to develop some kind of theme. So this year, the theme is going to be, you know, the impact that we're making on the church world, or, you know, the difference that we're making at Maxwell Air Force Base, or, you know, that the impact that I'm having on new cadets or whatever it might be. So just some kind of theme. And part of what that does is, the toughest thing about writing a newsletter is coming up with the topic. What am I going to write about this time? And so if you already know the year's theme, then all you have to do is kind of plug into that. And it kind of takes away all that whole writer's block and everything like that. It is a written plan. So you can't just say, yeah, I'm going to do 4 newsletters and 6 prayer emails, and that's it. Put it down on paper. If you can read it, hopefully, and I'll show you a bigger one in just a second. I like to put the date I'm going to mail it, when I'm actually going to start on it, and those are definitely two different things. You can't write a newsletter a day before you're going to mail it. So you got to plan in time for that, make sure you got envelopes, all that kind of jazz. And then I like to at least salt the ideas. So, you know, if my general theme is, you know, the impact that we're making at Maxwell Air Force Base, the first of your newsletters might be about, you know, the airmen themselves. The next one might be their spouses. The next one might be, I mean, you know, just come up with some ideas of what you're trying to communicate. Yes?
Do you do a different letter for those, like a newsletter for those that are supporting the ministry, than you do for those who are interested in it but aren't supporting it yet, but it's still the same newsletter?
Yes. What we do is we mail four times a year to our supporters, and we mail once a year a general newsletter to people who aren't supporters. But that's because we do most of our fundraising face-to-face. So I'm not depending on that letter to do my fundraising. Okay? And that's a guideline. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. So here is an example of our 2010 mailing schedule. You know, I wanted to mail it on January 23rd. It's a newsletter. The topic is to summarize 2009, and I'm going to start working on it on January 13th. So I like to allow myself about 10 days to write it, get it edited, print it, all that kind of jazz. We have chosen, in terms of prayer, we only do prayer by email. So I do have a few little old ladies who do not do email, and so I just can't do another thing to mail them something. So I only do prayer by email. But that, again, is a personal choice. Yes.
So you only do prayer by email?
Right. So I'm sending them six times a year. We send out prayer requests. Here's the things you could be praying for us. And so I only do, yeah, we call them prayer warriors. Yeah.
Okay. Now this newsletter for January 23rd, the summarize, is that the one that you...
That's the one I mail to everybody. Yep. Absolutely. And I will say that I do split that list into partners and non-partners, and the only thing I change is the PS. And it'll say, PS, all of this was made possible because of your faithful support. And the other one just says, PS, you know, thanks for being a great person or whatever. All right. So we typically do, we for sure do a year-end appeal letter every year. Sometimes we do a cash project letter during the course of the year. It depends on how we're doing and whether there is a project and that sort of thing. So like this year, in May, early May, we'll make a decision about whether we want to do a cash project letter or not. Right now, I would say we probably aren't going to. But, you know, that's, again, a personal decision. So as you go down through the year, and we try to stagger these and make sure they're not getting inundated, they don't get an email from us with prayer requests at the same week that they get, you know, a newsletter and stuff like that. Yes.
Okay, now your March 30th, it says ask people if they'd like to be removed from the list.
Yes.
But, you know, usually that's the blunt, for us, the blanket people are the ones that are more likely want to be removed than
yeah.
Supporters.
Yeah, I probably didn't just move it to the right place, maybe. I mean, I may have just put it in the wrong way. I just kind of copied this from some other things. Oh. This isn't my specific 2010 plan. So, yes, you would want to do that in the general one.
Okay. And do you make that like a separate little thing that you enclose if you'd like to be removed from this and send this back?
Yes. And that I would say, if you're going to ever ask people to be removed, make it that they have to do something to be removed. So don't say, if I don't hear from you, I'm assuming I'm going to remove you. Instead, they have to take an action to be removed. I don't. I only do it about every other year.
Okay.
So, yep. So here's one of the, this is interesting. In June, this is actually last year's plan. I kind of cheated. But last June, one of the ministries of the Navigators is a marriage getaway at Glenary at the castle. And so you can invite your donors to participate in that. And so we actually did it last year where we had enough people responded that we were able to host the weekend and be there with our donors. And, you know, it didn't, I mean, they have to pay for everything. You're not paying for anything at all. And in fact, if you get enough people that go, the marriage getaway will pay for you to be there to do it. So it's a great way to speak into their lives, though. And if nothing else, you're offering them the opportunity to be ministered to through that. So
do you go, like, if only three, like, do you go anyways? You know what I'm saying, to that weekend?
Because we're local, it's easier. So we, you know, we talk to Terry and Leah Green, and we say, we will be your host for this weekend no matter what. And then, you know, so it's a benefit to them as well. But, yeah. And we had, I think we had four couples come out of a possible, I think they can hold like 16 or something like that in the castle. And we won't do this every year at all, but it was significant into those people's lives. And just offering it, again, is very significant. So toward the end of the year, we mail a Christmas card and a gift. And, again, I'll talk about those in a minute. Last year, for the first time, we decided we're going to look at giving levels and determine whether we really should send a gift to everybody. So if somebody is a $25 a year donor, maybe it's not worth mailing them a Christmas gift. Maybe it is. That's a personal decision. That kind of depends on how you're doing and where your funds are and everything like that. We did elect to mail to everybody, especially because the book itself was so great and we wanted them to, you know, to have that. So, and then, so in terms of timing, we mail the Christmas card and gift the day after Thanksgiving. We mail the year-end appeal the first week of December. So they've already heard from you in a thank you gift, and then they get your year-end appeal. So, and so that's kind of our look at our mailing schedule. And, you know, it has more to it than that. The real one actually has ideas along the way and verses and, you know, stuff that I want to borrow. And, I just read this great thing in somebody else's newsletter. I call them up and ask them, can I use this in my next one and stuff like that. You know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But I always do try to ask for permission for that. So, like I said, we do a quarterly newsletter. Again, timing is up to you. Some people mail more often than that. I personally wouldn't mail much less than that. If you're not in front of people at least every 3 months, it's pretty easy for them to forget about you. The most important thing that you can do in your newsletter is to tell stories. So I have a file in my drawer called stories. And when stuff happens, I just jot a note and throw it in there so that the next time I need to write my quarterly newsletter, I just open that up and say, I need to tell the story about Bill and John. Or, you know, these two guys that I met with, or this airman, or this, you know, that sort of thing. So tell stories. Use pictures. And now that's, like, our ministry is really difficult for that one because basically I stand up in front of people and talk to them. And in church discipleship, I mean, that's a lot of what we do. We facilitate groups and stuff like that. So all our pictures look the same. It's not like we get to meet for coffee or pizza or, you know, whatever. So our pictures are kind of boring and the same, but hopefully your ministry is different than that. So take pictures. I mean, take pictures of the places that you minister to, you know, around the Air Force bases and the naval stations and that sort of thing. I think it's really helpful to only have one subject per letter. So don't talk about 80 different things that you're doing. Focus on one thing. And then edit, and then have someone else edit it. That's really important, that whole idea of making sure you don't have grammar errors and spelling mistakes and everything like that, that your letter is interesting and engaging. So for me, I'm the writer, and my wife is the editor. And that's what works best for us. Doesn't work that way for everybody, but consider that possibility. And then this is like the greatest resource in the world, and a lot of people don't know this. But there's a lady in staff funding. Her name is Molly Gilberts. And she's phenomenal. I think she used to be like an English teacher or something like that. But you can send your letter to her in an email format, and she will edit it for you and send it back with suggestions and changes. And it is free, and she can normally turn things around in about 48 hours. So you can't wait till the last second. You're mailing on Tuesday, and you send it to her on Monday and expect it to be done. But, you know, send it to her on Thursday, and you're going to mail the next Monday or Tuesday. It's golden, and she's phenomenal. If you're not taking advantage of that, you're dumb. I'm sorry. Because it's like having a professional writer review everything that you do. And she's great.
Meet Molly. She's downstairs by the development table.
All right. What else does she do? Well, there's like hardly anybody that takes advantage of this. So it's good. I hope she does. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great service that you need to take advantage of. She does a lot of other stuff. And you'll see her picture. She's in the TGIF newsletter almost every time that comes out. So, and then absolutely, positively, in your newsletters, no PS that says, please send money, or we're really tight, or anything like that at all. It is a newsletter. It is not a fundraising letter. Keep the two things separate. If you don't hear anything else, get that one.
I see it a lot that, and if you'd like to be a part of our ministry, you can go to, like.
I wouldn't do it. I think it's a newsletter or a fundraising letter. Because when I write a fundraising letter, it's very carefully crafted to give them all the information they need to decide if they want to be a part of our team. I don't want it just to be this kind of haphazard thing. So, my
right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Y
So then it's like
a little block, just, you know, kinda, yeah.
Right. So then how much attention does it get? So, I mean, I, you know, you don't want to ask people too often. Yes.
You would, if it's a fundraising letter, you would still put those kind of things in it. I mean, the pictures and the,
yes,
and the story.
A lot of the same things are going to happen in a fundraising letter, but they are distinctly different because my ask is going to be much stronger in a fundraising letter. It's not going to be a soft PS or $5,000 behind. It's going to be, boom, here it is. So, yes.
We've been schooled through the years too, and we've done it consistently, sharing one letter a year to update the family.
Okay.
Because people want to know what your kids are doing.
Yep.
Is there a particular time of year? I mean, we've always done it at Christmas, but is there another suggestion?
Well, we do it. That's our January letter that goes to everybody. So it's the update of ministry, and it's the family update. And okay, this is, again, my personal opinion, which is nothing more than one guy. If you think about all the letters you get at Christmas time and all the Christmas cards, how much time do you really spend reading them? You know, you get overwhelmed. So we specifically don't mail December an update. We do it in January. So, and I think that helps cut through the clutter and people have an opportunity to actually read it and sit down and everything. So personal opinion. And it just kind of breaks that mold. There's been a couple of years it's been an Easter letter because we're really behind. But so anyway, yeah. So that's when we do the family update. So it's ministry first. Most of our letters are 2 pages. I just can't get it any shorter than that. And so the first, you know, probably 2/3 of the letter is ministry and what's going on. And then the last third is family update and a picture. And a lot of times we will put a separate, you know, printed picture. You know, you can get them on Snapfish for 10 cents a piece. And, you know, then put a label on the back with your name and the year. And, you know, I can tell you, like, I'm on a lot of people's refrigerators. So I definitely encourage that.
Troy, where did you say you get that at?
Snapfish.com. You can upload the picture digitally, and you can have it delivered to Walgreens or Walmart or whatever. They're about a dime a piece. Yeah, or Walmart. It's, you can just go directly to Walmart. But,
it's a little bit more expensive that way.
Which is?
Walmart.
Oh, okay.
It's just a little bit more.
Yeah.
So they'll mail it to you directly, too.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
Free shipping, so
yes. Yep, I watch all that stuff, you know. And you can order them ahead of time and decide, you know, like during the year when we're in different places together, which doesn't happen all that often when you have a kid in Guam, you know, it's like, okay, this is going to be our Christmas picture or our January newsletter picture. So think about that. All right. And then birthday and anniversary cards. So that's the other thing that is in our communication plan. So I want to just show you an example. This is, again, a little over the top. A couple of years ago, we found this American Greetings card. It had a brunette guy with a mustache and a redheaded woman, which my wife is a redhead. And it said exactly what this does. And so I called American Greetings, and I said, I will buy like 150 of these or 300 of them or whatever it is. I want to send these to everybody. And they said, sorry, we can't do that. We never allow special order. We can't pull them out, blah, blah, blah. So I said, fine. I tried. But I couldn't do it. So we found somebody who was a caricaturist and had them do this character of my wife and I. And so it says, happy birthday from your 2 favorite people. And then you open it up and it says, from the look on your face, I'm assuming we were wrong. Are we at least on the list? And then it has a scripture over here. And then we write just a little short note. So you can tell by looking at this, there's not very much room for a note. So right here it says, Dear Dan. And right here it just says, you know, hope you have the greatest birthday ever and a sense that God delights in you. Or something, you know, I just try to do something that is an encouragement. That's it. And people absolutely love this. I mean, it was really fun to see that. So, and you know, it costs, I think we paid $40 for the caricature. But I do. She was very real. Yeah, I have scars on them right now from scuba diving in Guam. So.
Did you send that out every day?
No, that one only one time. Only one time.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and we actually kept track of that. So, and again, we'll talk about TNT in just a few minutes. So, yep, so that was fun. Okay, other things in terms of ministry to donors, I try to do at least one phone call a year. Just a personal phone call. If you get a machine, I typically don't leave an answer the first time because I really do want to talk to these people. But second or third time, if you still haven't gotten a live person, leave a message. A personal visit where it makes sense. Now we have, you know, we live in Colorado Springs. We have two donors in Louisville, Kentucky. I will not see them every year. There's just no way that it's going to happen. It has to make sense logically. It has to make sense financially for you to do it. There are people that you may never, ever see. But if you're traveling, be aware of where people are. Social media is a great boon to contact with partners. It's the greatest thing. It is not a substitute, but it is a wonderful thing for people that are in the right age group. Yes.
A question about personal visit. I have a couple of donors that I've been trying really hard to be persistent in, that is a perfect way. Because it is convenient, I'll be in the area, whatever. But every once in a while, I get the sense that they don't want me to because they may have some kind of physical ailment, they may have some other reason they don't want me to come to the house, or something like that. And I just kind of find that to be a little bit of an awkward situation every once in a while. Do you just play that by ear and just go with the flow?
I think so. I mean, again, the whole idea is we're ministering to our partners. So if they don't want you to come visit, that's ministry to not come visit. You know, I mean, it is, yeah, I think it's very much a play it by ear. But I wouldn't not ask the next person just because the last person said, don't come. Yeah. There's probably a couple times like that. And if it's something like they don't want you to come to their house, then, hey, how about Starbucks on the corner? You know, I mean, there's a Starbucks everywhere. So, not in Guam, but, yes.
The annual phone call.
Yep.
Do you have certain things you want to tell them, or are you just calling a chat?
I usually jot a couple things down that I want to be sure I convey. And for sure, I want to say thank you. So, and this is like not my strongest suit, I will tell you that. So I have to force myself to make the phone call. It's way easier for me to write a note than it is to pick up the phone. It's just that whole fear of phone or whatever. So I usually have a couple notes. I want to say thank you. I want to tell them about what just happened at Church XYZ, that kind of stuff. And it's really great if you kind of break it up. You know, if you have 120 donors, do 10 calls a month. Don't wait and do them all in December. Yes.
What do you think about when if a wife does the phone call versus the husband?
I mean, I would kiss my wife's feet if she would do that. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that would be huge. We're going to talk about dividing labor here in just a minute. So, yeah, I think that's awesome. And she does make a lot of phone calls. Please don't anybody tell her I said anyways, I was talking a little bit about social media. Take advantage of it. You know, I'm on there at night. I'm checking things out. And Bianca and Charles Hart have a comment. You know, they're, man, I'm on there. Hey, and I just post a comment or do something on their wall or whatever. It doesn't take the place of a personal visit or a note or anything, but it's just one way to touch people's lives. And they care.
Like 1 hour a month, 1 hour a week?
Oh, I don't. I don't. Yeah. I mean, if you're addicted to Facebook, then set limits. Or if you never get on it, make yourself do it. So.
On your contact light with Facebook, whether they're just praying for you, thinking about you.
Yeah. I don't, it's extremely rare that I would go on and look up John and Mary Smith and see what they're doing and make a comment. It's just that when I'm on there, if it comes up, I'll just, so I typically comment on what they, like there's John, like Charles and Bianca Hart, he just ran a 10K race. And so he said something about that. Whoa, Charles, glad to hear you did that. How was it? Blah, blah, boom. You know, it's two lines. It absolutely is. So, and it's free and, you know, it's great. So, but it doesn't take the place of everything else. Christmas gifts. Let's just talk about this briefly. Again, we have chosen to do this. It's up to you whether or not you do or not. I highly recommend NavPress books. If you buy a book from NavPress to give away, it is 65% off. That's incredible. And so here's some examples of the books that we've given away in the past, and I'll pass these around. This Pray Magazine Prayer Journal is phenomenal. It has an entry for every day. It has scripture. It's read through the Bible in a year. It has, each month has a different theme. And they cost about, I think they cost around $9 or so. So this is the most expensive gift we've ever done because we actually sent two to every married couple and one to every single. And that was highly unusual that we would spend that much money. But we felt like it was something that really did speak into their lives and minister to them. And we got huge comments on it. And, you know, every time we went into people's homes, there was their prayer journal. We actually went and bought a happy birthday stamp and a happy anniversary stamp. And we went through and stamped their day. I mean, that was like kind of over the top. The fact that my mother-in-law lives with me and she likes to do that kind of stuff is a big help. But, you know, you have friends.
You're ministering to her.
I am.
Do you tell them that you're giving this away and that's how they know that 65% off? How do you know? How do you do that?
If somebody ever asked me, I would say, because it's Snap Press, we're able to get it at a substantial discount. But I've never had anybody ask.
No, okay. Mean, when you go to
Net Yes, you call Net Press and you say, and you do have to order more than 10 copies of the same thing. But you just tell them it's for giveaway, and they automatically apply the 65% discount. Sorry. Yes?
As far as, like, the funding for the gifts, would you, like, what about for part-time staff? Would you say that comes out of the personal, like, money, or there was that account? So would you say about that?
I would say it comes out of your NAV account because it's part of your ministry. I consider it a ministry expense as valid as taking somebody out for coffee or, you know, buying materials or whatever else. I absolutely do. So
I guess I could think as, like, a donor and be like, oh, they're using my money to pay for me. Like, I don't know. I guess it might look kind of weird at times, but it doesn't.
It can feel weird. Oh, actually, I was going to pass these around, too. Sorry, I forgot. These are the live cards.
How often you do it? Because I feel the same way. Like, I don't want to use a lot, but I don't think it's too bad. I'm kind of balancing that, too, but I was thinking once a year might not be. But I don't know if I would do birthday, anniversary, and Christmas.
I wouldn't do a gift for each of those, for sure. I do one gift, you know, their initial gift as part of the welcome packet, and then one gift a year. So, and again, that some people do it every other year. You know, you do whatever works the best for you. I mean, pray about it and ask God to speak to you. A T-shirt's a great idea.
We usually do the conference T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
And so that is about $10. But, I mean, most of our donors are our family. And so when we go home for Christmas, we say, look what you got, or something.
Yep. So... the key in your gift is that it gives you another opportunity to minister or to partner. So that's why we always choose a book. Because if, you know, I mean, books speak into people's lives in ways that you can't. They, you know, they stay on their nightstand or their coffee table way past your visit. So it's a huge opportunity. And there are great books from NAV Press. I mean, there's other ones too, and you can get a discount from InterVarsity and some other places like that. But, you know, why not take advantage of promoting the entire ministry? And here's one more leg of Navigators. So, and then I think the T-shirt idea is phenomenal. If there's some way to tie in your ministry, that's great. So, like, we go to Honduras every year to work with a missions organization, and it's usually part of our year-end fundraising letter. And so one year I spent $10 and bought, you know, 51 limp notes, and I mailed one of those to every person who gave. I mean, it's like nothing. But it's, hey, we got to go to Honduras because you gave, here's, you know, here's a limp as a souvenir, a bookmark, whatever. Yeah.
I guess I was just thinking, and I might be taking this too literal, but like the prayer journal, if I was to give to, you know, a husband and wife, the husband might be totally not interested and the wife is. Do you just send it anyway? Like, I wouldn't necessarily say they're healthy Christians, you know. Or Christians at all, maybe. I don't know.
I'm wondering if you could just say, you know, I've enclosed this as a gift. You know, if you can't use it, maybe you could give it to a friend. You know, maybe.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, you could encourage a friend with it. So that you're giving them that out of rather than it sitting and them not using it.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't want them to feel like they have to put it on their nightstand when they're not.
Ever going to use it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's really, that was a great question and a good answer. Yes.
Along with your mind, if we have a lot of donors that are. Wives who, if their husbands are opposed to or not interested in participating in tithing, how do you advise that we still continue to contact the wives, but in the same breath, keep their relationship with their husband, or maybe the husband with the wife, healthy and respectful?
I don't know if I just keep tithing.
I mean, obviously, we want... Go ahead, Warren.
We have a couple of men who are already gotten committed, and the wives are not committed in the same way. They're committed to their Roman Catholic Church, but
uh-huh.
Not on the same page. And they, and these guys do not want thank you notes sent to their home. They don't want... That's an issue, that's a problem in their relationship. So, man to man... And one way or another, I just thank them directly or on a phone call. You know, and we do want to relate to the wife as well. And we want to win her over, not out of her church, but to her commitment to Christ. And so I think that there's a way to relate to people in a way that fits their needs and and where they are in their relationship.
Yeah, I would say, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you could send them, if it wasn't, you know, if they weren't like totally, like they don't even want to like hear it, something from like your part of the country, or like a thing of coffee. You know, something that is not going
a permanent on display kind of thing.
Christianity or be offensive, but or a pair of, you know, earrings, you know, that's not for the wife, or, you know, or something that's, like I was thinking of like maple syrup, or in the Northeast, a little thing of maple syrup. You know,
just, it's a great idea.
It's kind of generic but thoughtful.
I would say it is definitely case by case, and it is about ministry. It's a little, it is different. If it's a man who has decided to give and the woman isn't supportive, that's different than if a wife has decided and, you know, she's going against her husband's wishes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you do have to be really sensitive to that. We do have one person on our support team where the wife gives and the husband is pretty anti, but you know, she does it out of her money and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So I think it's a case by case thing. Michelle, what were you going to say back?
I was curious. What's a gift you've received, or if you have, the one that's ministered to you the most? Because I think the book thing is really cool, but I've gotten several gifts from different people. You know, like you get a cardboard ornament for your tree. Like, hey, thanks for letting me throw that in the garbage for you. You know, and even with books, I mean, I think this is cool with some of the stuff I've gotten, but I don't know if there's any other things that you've gotten or anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't give junk, a cardboard ornament. It's just the way that we've chosen to do it. Other people have, and maybe I shouldn't even call it junk. Sorry. Here's one thing we do, even in our books, is, and I should have brought an example of that, I'm sorry. I actually write a personalized, I mean, it's typed, but I mean, it's computer generated, but it's Dear Dan and Jan. And then it talks about why I chose that book and how I think it might speak into their lives. And then we use rubber cement and glue it into the end sheet of the book. So now the good thing about rubber cement is if they decide they want to pass it on, they can actually peel it out and pass it on to somebody else. It also allows you to reposition if you're not real straight. But I generate it on the computer and cut it with a paper cutter. Boom. But it is personalized, every single one of them. It's Dear Dan and Jan. It is not Dear Friend. I mean, it takes 2 seconds. And if you don't know how to use Word and Merge, call me. I'll teach you. It takes about 5 minutes. It's really amazing. Okay, I need to speed up here a little bit. Christmas gifts. Year-end appeal. This is like, if I keep saying, this is probably one of the most important things that you can hear out of this workshop is I highly, highly, highly encourage you to do a year-end appeal. It keeps you in front of people at a time when people are making decisions about gifts. There are going to be letters from the American Cancer Society and Red Cross and everything like that in front of them. Why wouldn't you want to give them an opportunity to give to the kingdom instead of to a secular organization? It's very important that you present a compelling need. And if you don't have a need, don't send one, okay? But if you have an annual shortfall or you're short on a monthly basis or whatever it might be, or if you have some kind of project or need. So like I said, we go to Honduras virtually every single year, and it's typically early in the like January, February period. So that's one of the things that we do as part of our year-end appeal is have people give toward that. I had a friend who was a fundraising consultant years ago who talked about the roll-top desk concept. And how many people in here like roll-top desks? Raise your hand. Okay. Know what they are even? Okay. Anyway, one of the reasons that people like roll-top desks is because there's all these little cubbies for your rubber bands and your staplers and your post-it notes and all that kind of stuff. People like that whole idea of cubby holes and places to put things. So when I do a year-end appeal letter, I like to give them a couple different cubbies that they can put their gift in. So we'll, like, for the Honduras trip, I'll list out what's my airfare going to be, what's my materials that I'm taking to give to the pastors, you know, that sort of thing. And then typically, we don't raise enough on a monthly basis to support us, but because we do an annual appeal, it all works out okay. So I make sure that I present the fact that there's not enough coming in every month and that, you know, year-end appeals make a big difference. So it gives people a couple different places to identify their gift. And I always, on the reply card, give them the opportunity to identify that. And I would say out of, you know, 50 responses at year end, maybe one or two people specify where it's going to go. And I put the, you know, gifts given in excess of this are going to go to the general thing, that, you know, that whole deal. So if you don't Cindy, you're in appeal. You are leaving money on the table. I mean, that's just all there is to it. People are in a frame of mind that they want to give. I think it's a huge privilege to be able to do that. I mean, one of the things I loved the most when we were in the secular world before we were in ministry is we would gather all of our year-end appeal letters together, and we'd go out to dinner, and we would talk about them and pray about them, and my wife and I would decide, this is who we're going to bless, this is who we're, you know, that sort of thing. And it was a great opportunity. I loved being able to do that. So, you know, I think it gives people an opportunity to do that. NAV Central, in the staff funding area, every year they post ideas for year-end letters. So you don't have to come up with the idea from scratch. Go on there and, you know, use that to kind of stimulate your ideas. And then the reality is you start all over again next year. And I think that's one of the most important things to realize, is that this is part of your ministry for the rest of your ministry, is ministering to your partners. So just talk real briefly about partner tracking. How many of you guys use TNT MPD to track your donors, your partners? Nobody. Oh, this is ripe. Kevin, did you see this? Okay. This is it's a database that you can use for tracking all your partners. It is totally free. It was written by a guy named Troy Woolbrook. Is that how you say his last name? Works for Campus Crusade. Makes it available on the internet. Totally free. He's estimated that he saves the average missionary, like, I don't know, 10 hours a month or something like that. And so if you multiply that times the number of missionaries that use it, he's contributed that to the gospel, and that's why he does it for free. The web address is in there. It's really simple. It has online training. It's amazing. And so these are going to be, I'm going to show you some slides. They're going to be a little too small to see, but they'll at least give you the idea. Basically, and these are my real donors, so don't even write down these people or anything like that. Basically, there's an address block, phone, email, all that kind of stuff. Over here, it tells whether they're current. So if they made a $20 a month pledge and they're behind, that dot turns gray for a while, and then it turns red if they're really behind. Has all of their contact information. Here's their whole donor list. You can sort people. You can pick partners from non-partners. I mean, it's fabulous, and it's free. Did I mention that it was free? It's free. There's no reason not to use it, and it's really pretty simple. It's really quite intuitive. So you get that kind of overall information, telephone, email, all that kind of stuff. Here's a close-up version so you can see some of the stuff. This notes field is like the best thing in the world. It is an unlimited number of characters. You could put War and Peace in there if you had it. Okay? So what I do is every time I finish a contact with somebody, I make notes about what it is, whether it's a prayer concern. You know, in this case, Amy just got back from Europe and she hated it. She's never leaving the United States again. You know, so the next time I talk to her, hey, how's Amy doing? And, you know, did she ever get over that whole Europe thing and everything? So, and it, you know, you could take the position, wow, that's a trick and you're being deceitful and you don't really remember. I don't think it is. It is a prompt. It is a way for me to remember and care. So I use it like crazy. It tracks, okay, this is the other really great thing, is by clicking a couple of buttons, it actually goes up to NAV Central and downloads all their giving information. You don't have to enter any of that stuff by hand. It's amazing. That alone is worth the price of admission. Yes. Now, yeah.
You can keep track in this when you sent them a...
You can. I'll show you that in just 1 second.
Yeah, here...
Yes, everything. So every person that I sent that caricature birthday card to, it says I sent the caricature birthday card to that year.
This could also be for potential donors. Like
absolutely.
12 times.
Yes, yes. So this is right here. You click this button, gift input, and it brings up a thing, and it actually tells you what your balance is, and then you click sync, and it brings up the gift since the last time you did it, and it automatically puts them into all their records. Yes.
Do you have, like, our current donor list, mailing list that we have now? Would you have to go back and
transport it?
If you have it in Microsoft Outlook, I know it'll automatically go in there and pull out all of your...
And you can do it with Excel as well. Can you get it directly from NAV Central that way? Yes.
Safe, secure, yes.
The connection to NAV Central and all that kind of stuff, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And they don't, like, suck all your data or your donors out or anything like that when you're connected. You don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. They're not your donors anyway. They're God. Yeah. Well, there is lots of weird stuff that goes on out there, absolutely. So, okay, so anyway... So there's a lot of detail that you can get in there. Here's their their gift history. And this is kind of weird. These people give $77 a month. I actually asked them, why did you pick $77? You know, it's the only people that give that amount. And then, so last year, when I did my year-end appeal, I actually had four different versions. But one of, for my monthly donors, I asked them to consider increasing their monthly donation. And so they went up to $88 right there. So, you know, that's $132 more that I don't have to raise from somebody else this year. Cool. And they actually made a special gift at year end as well. And you can go in and you can't really see this whole thing, but right there it says 2009 year end appeal. And again, I'm not talking about a whole major rewrite on a different letter. It just says, as a monthly partner, would you consider increasing your gift? As an annual donor, would you consider a second gift or a gift at year end? You know, you're changing one or two words, but it's personal. And it applies to their situation. So this is a great, great feature. This is what you were talking about, tracking history. And it is pretty important to choose the words you use, because later on you're going to want to pull these all up and see. So you want to be fairly standardized in the way that, so you don't want to put sent year in letter one time, sent year in 2009 letter the next time, sent the, you know, because you may want to go back and look at these. So I try to keep track of everything. I mean, I keep track of calls. See, I sent the character birthday card. One of them is on here that I paid for lunch or whatever. Oh, right here. Dinner at a Mexican restaurant, they paid. So then I look that up before I call them the next time, and I think, okay, probably time for me to ask if I can pick up the tab. You know, why not use technology to your advantage? So it's so great, great. Yes?
Abide on your computer, and then it goes out and gets the updates?
It does.
Okay, so you don't have to be online.
You don't have to be online. And if you are, there's ways that you can sync it between two different computers, like if both spouses do fundraising and stuff like that. I personally don't do that because that's not my wife's gift. So, what's that? What about a what? She has so many others that she can't have that one. Okay. Keep in mind that you are not in this thing alone. I really want to encourage you to encourage one another. There are tons of great resources out there. There's stuff on the web. There's books. Scott Morton's fundraising letter book is excellent. There's resources on DVDs. And then I do have just a short resource list here that's also part of your packet. One of the things that's really helpful for me is to keep the idea of ministry to partners in front of me. So there's a couple different organizations out there that send a monthly e-newsletter that encourages you in that. One of them is the Bodybuilders, and the other one is People Raising. They're both good organizations. Many of their principles are the same as what we teach in 410 School. And so once a month, I get a newsletter from these guys that just says, hey, have you thought about this? Or especially, I think it's Bodybuilders. Theirs is kind of like the top 5 mistakes in personal support raising. And so I read those, and I go, oh, I did 3 of those last month. But it helps me not do them next month. You know, so it just keeps that whole idea that you're in this for the long haul in front of you. So I think that's really helpful. The TGIF newsletter is phenomenal, but it doesn't do any good if you just read it and don't apply it. So, you know, I try to glean something out of that every time. Once you start using TNT, Kevin publishes a tip of the month every month in TNT, stuff to do. So it only increases what you know how to do. There's the website again for the Ministry Partner Tracking Software. There's the web address if you want the Spirituality of Fundraising book. And then I would encourage you to find an accountability partner and fundraise together. That can be really helpful. Fundraise with your spouse if they're willing to do that. And I strongly suggest dividing duties and play to your strengths. So, I really don't know an adverb from an adjective, but my wife does. So she's the editor. I, like, do colons all the time when they're supposed to be semicolons or whatever, you know. So she's the editor. Just do that. And I would encourage you, if you're the primary staff person, take the worst stuff. Take the hard stuff. If the worst thing is calling to make the appointment for a first time, you know, ask, you to be the one to do that. Don't dump that on your spouse. Yes, Michelle. Oh, I thought, sorry. Warren?
I just have a comment that I read the newsletters, and there are lots of I's, me, mine, we, and it is about what's happening there, but I think we need to count how many circles, the number of I's and me, mine, and how many you's and yours you would be interested to hear. If only if you could have set in and heard this person's comments. Try to balance the you's, and you can write a sentence without saying, I did this. You can just say it was done. Or there's a way of writing without putting you and I in but my personal pronouns or names.
Good.
It just gets overloaded with just me.
Good. That's a great observation.
And doesn't. And the only time you would you like to contribute to this, that's the only use in there, are you going to get.
That's great. That is a really good caution.
No, these tiny little pictures, that you, if you had a magnifying glass, you could actually see faces. Because you have 40 guys lined up, and they're too small. And the other thing is, I see some pictures, especially authors' pictures and so on. I don't think you did yourself a favor by including that.
Spend some time at Glamour Shots first.
It's not interesting. Why mug shots? Why?
Yeah.
Most of us are not glamorous. We're not pretty. We're just ordinary people.
Right.
But when you see us in our interesting poses or in an expression can be caught, it is very interesting.
Absolutely.
So I think just the fact we have a picture is not necessarily necessary.
I think you're right.
Well, I do.
I think, in general, fewer, bigger pictures are better. Always caption your pictures. If you send a newsletter to Molly Gilbert's and you have not captioned the picture, you're going to get it back with a big, who is this? What are they doing? You know, that kind of stuff. So always caption them. Because what are they doing? You know, and don't say, meeting together at Starbucks. It's like going over book two of the 2-7 at, you know, our local Starbucks while enjoying a caramel latte. I mean, you know, what's the difference between those two? They both told what was going on in the picture, but one's like interesting and one's like, my kid could have written that. Share victories and challenges. And then last of all, when you guys meet in any kind of regional meeting or anything that you do, bring up the whole concept of personal fundraising and ministry to your partners and be the champion that is out there saying, you can do this. And I guarantee that if you care for your partners, you know, God will provide and, you know, and you will enjoy it way more. You know, and if you look at it as ministry, and not just, I have to send out another newsletter. It will transform the way you look at partner development. Okay? Any questions or other comments or anything like that? Yes.
What, Rue here is going to, she's now an associate, but she doesn't have and she hasn't created a ministry account. She's like, what do you suggest to her to start at the very, very beginning? Should you talk to her buddy guy?
Okay, I'm not sure I get the question. Okay.
Mostly for, because I'm associate staff, mostly for conferences, things like ministry that I do at the house. So just very small.
Okay.
I do work full time, but how would I go about that? That would be a little different. So do you need any suggestions?
Sure. Kevin, you want to take it first just in terms of?
We answer it afterwards. That'd be
okay.
A little
yeah.
bit more specific.
Okay.
Who do we talk about P cards? Is that similar?
Probably if you can track down.
He's kind of shorter, wears glasses, gray hair, short cut, slim guy. Elmendorf. Any other comments or questions?
How much out of the month, time-wise, do you spend doing this?
I think the 10 to 20% is pretty accurate. And I do try to concentrate it. So I try to spend a half a day or a day a week and do it that way because it's much more effective to do it all at once. So it's way easier to write 12 thank you notes out at once than it is to scatter them and mix them up. But for some people, it's way better for them to do that while they're in line at the grocery store or whatever that might be. But I think concentrating is better. Yes?
This is both a comment that others might be interested in and a question.
Okay.
We were sending out some DVDs and went to Office Depot and to get some padded mailers, and I got up to the register, and for some reason, it ended up costing me about a third. Does Navigators have a...
Yes, with Office Depot and with Staples now, we have an agreement, and you get a discount, and they shouldn't charge sales tax either.
Okay. So is that everything is discounted that much? Or
no, just certain things. Certain things are.
Is there a way to find out which items are... I mean, the padded mailers,
yeah, I don't know.
The box costs 15, and I paid 5 something.
I don't know that there's any way to find out ahead of time.
So
yeah, you do have to use your P card, and it'll actually come up.
You tell them you just use your P card.
Mm-hmm. It'll ring it up first, like you know, $18.29, and then when you swipe your P card, it goes $15.
Well, I told you guys that this can't be correct.
Yeah.
Because evidently your ministry has an agreement.
Yep. It's usually not that much. It's usually like 5%. And not everything is discounted, but there is stuff that
are. So is there a way to find out what is?
Staples and Office Depot. And I don't know of any way that you can find out what. All right, let me just really quickly pray for you guys, all right? Father God in heaven, I just thank you for this opportunity to be together. I thank you for just your creativity and all that you desire to do in our lives, Father, as you draw us closer to the image of your Son, as we're conformed to that. Father, I pray for each of these folks as they minister in the area of the military, that you would help them to be effective in their ministry. And Father, effective as they care for their partners and they fundraise and they do the things that are necessary in order to be able to be about the work you've called us to. Would you bless every one of them? And would you give them an overwhelming sense of just how much you delight in each one of them? They are special people chosen by you. Help them to know that at the core of their soul. Amen.